Hello, and welcome to episode one of the podcast, What Lawyers Want. I'm your host, Matt Belbeck. I've spent the majority of my career in marketing, sales, and product development roles focused on what lawyers want, what information they want, what format they want it delivered in, what they're looking for in a research and practice management solution, and even what they're looking for in an employer. When you think about a lawyer, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Suits? Ivory towers? Billable hours? The bottom line? For years, we've been operating under the assumption that we know who lawyers are and that we know what lawyers want. But do we really? Regardless of what we might perceive to be the truth, the legal industry is out of balance. Lawyers lack work-life balance and typically work long, inflexible hours with little say in the type of work they're assigned. Clients pay outrageous hourly rates for junior resources and have little choice but to accept it as a cost of doing business. So at what point does a situation that produces unhappy clients and unhappy lawyers break? Most lawyers want to be able to deliver a better experience for their clients, but have their hands tied by the interests of their employer or a lack of tools to allow them to deliver a more efficient service themselves. Wouldn't it be great if the legal services industry could produce happy lawyers that deliver exceptional services for happy clients? This podcast taps into the experiences of the people that have been working within this mature but quickly changing legal services industry as technology and new law models impact the way services are delivered. It aims to change the perception people typically have of lawyers with the goal to facilitate a conversation about how the industry can continue to evolve to create an environment conducive to both happy clients and happy lawyers. We'll interview lawyers about their careers and experiences across big law, in-house roles, and alternative legal services providers. We'll interview clients of law firms about their companies, careers, legal technology, and experiences working with legal services providers. Finally, we'll interview legal tech companies and their founders about the changing legal services landscape and their own journeys in supporting lawyer happiness and a better client experience. Today, we'll be interviewing Steve Monk, founder and CEO of alternative legal services firm and technology solution provider, CEO Law. Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Matt. It's kind of exciting to be here, the first guest ever.
Well, thanks for joining us. Steve is a lawyer. He worked at Davies Warden Beck. He's also a business leader. He led the Wolters Kluwer Legal Canadian business for over 10 years. He's well-versed in the alternative legal services models as well, having led Cognition and Caravel before the Axiom acquisition. And more recently, Steve is an entrepreneur, having started CEO Law in 2017 with a vision to create a legal services experience that's better for both clients and lawyers through the use of technology. Steve, the goal of this podcast is really to get a better understanding of who lawyers are and what they want, because I believe there's a real gap in the market's understanding of the profession, both from an employer's perspective and from a client's perspective. I also believe that technology can play a huge role in supporting lawyers to both lead more fulfilling careers and deliver better services. So maybe you can start by telling us a little bit more about your career as a lawyer. Why is it that you think lawyers are just so unhappy?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Matt. So I worked at Davies Warden Beck back a long time ago when it was called Davies Warden Beck. It's just called Davies now. And there's a couple of stories that I think really illustrate why it was a miserable experience for me. It's a great firm, and so they do great legal work, but it's just the lifestyle itself that is unsustainable. And so the two stories I have, first, when I was a lawyer at Davies, I had my own assistant from 8:30 in the morning till 5 at night. And then I had another assistant from 5 until midnight. And then they had a rolling bank of assistants that went from midnight until 8:30. And they called it their continuous work day. And when you worked there, you kind of realized that if you had a continuous work day, that meant that you had a continuous work week. That meant you had a continuous work life. And so it was kind of unsustainable that way. They brought us lunch every day. They brought us coffee a couple of times a day. We had a cocktail party on Friday so that we could stay in the office for our socialization, if you want to call it that. And everything was set up so that we never had to leave. And while that may be great from a work perspective, it's kind of difficult from a life perspective. And then the other story that I always tell has to do with a phone call that I made every week to my mom. So I was just starting out in Toronto, and so my mother and I would have a nice chat every week, and she'd find out how I was doing. And one week she was going to Europe, and so we agreed that I would call her at 2 o'clock in the morning, and that worked well because it was going to be 9 o'clock in the morning for her. This was pre-internet, and so we had to set it up that she was going to be at a pre-arranged phone booth, and I was going to call her at the phone booth at the agreed-upon time of 2 a.m., and then I couldn't make the phone call because I was in a meeting. And so it wasn't just that I was at work, which was not that unusual, but it was that I was in a meeting and I couldn't leave. And so she wondered whatever happened to me as far as the call went, and I had to explain it later when we finally managed to hook up. But I just think that is a great example of just how miserable the lifestyle could be in a law firm, that you would be in a meeting at 2 o'clock in the morning and unable to leave.
Wow. So, I mean, maybe you've already answered this question, but was there a breaking point for you? At what point did you decide this is enough? I have to try something else.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it wasn't that particular incident, but as time went on and I had these regular phone calls with my mother, at some point in time, she told me, you know, you should quit that job. It's really making you miserable. And I found that suggestion to be quite staggering because in the first place, I'd worked really hard to get that job. And in the second place, my mom was really proud of the fact that she had this son who was a lawyer at a big law firm in Toronto, and she took great pride in it. And so to have her say to me that I should leave the practice of law was quite a staggering suggestion. And then the more I thought about it, the more I realized what a wise suggestion it was. And so I left the practice of law and moved over into the business world. And right away, it was a much better world for me.
Now, there's probably many lawyers many young lawyers in a very similar position to the one that you were in. What kind of advice would you give to them about their careers and about the direction that they're going?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I always say to people when I hear that they're interested in going to law school, be careful what you wish for because it might just come true. And I think that many people go to law school with one vision of what they imagine a profession, a career in the law will be like. And then the actual fact is far different. I think that for people who go to law school, the plum jobs are in the big law firms. So that's what everyone's striving for. And then if you do get a job in the big law firms, far from saving the world with your legal skills, what you're doing is working all the time. And you're kind of a small cog in a big machine. And so it's just not a very satisfying way to spend your career. And so when people say they want to go into the law, I really encourage them to give that a lot of thought. And then if they are in the law, I encourage them to think about whether there's something else that they might rather do. There are many, many lawyers who leave the practice of law and then either go in-house, where they can continue to practice as a lawyer and still use their legal skills, or they go back and do an MBA or otherwise find a way to get into the business world. And I think that that can be a lot more satisfying for people who would like to use their career to make more of a difference in terms of building a business or having a more satisfying life.
Great. Now, I'd like to ask you a little bit about your philosophy around what makes a happy customer. So from a customer's perspective, you know, what's it like working with a big law firm?
Well, I think the difficulty when you're a customer is that the law firms have an absence of tools to make the experience more connected and more responsive and more transparent for you. So unless you're a huge company like a bank or somebody who's going to do multi-billion dollar transactions or raise hundreds of millions of dollars at a time, it's really difficult for the lawyers to give you the kind of attention you'd like to have. And so the end result is that the work that they do for you is often not transparent in terms of how it's being done or what's being billed for it. The communication isn't what the lawyers would like to have. It's really that you get a bill at the end of the work, and then that's meant to be the correspondence that you have with your lawyer. And the bill is likely to be far bigger than you ever anticipated as a customer. And so that's how I think the big law firms are delivering services today, that it's non-transparent, that the communication is bad, and that the bills are just too high. And I think that there's a better way. And I think customers are saying that they would like to have some better way of receiving legal solutions.
I have to believe that there are lawyers within big law firms that want to deliver a better experience. You know, why isn't there more drastic change towards a more client-centric approach?
Well, again, I think it goes back to this idea that there are no tools to make the experience more client-centric. If you are a huge company, then you will get kind of a focused experience, and you will have a lawyer who's readily available to speak with you about your business needs. But for the average company, there just isn't the bandwidth for the lawyers to be responsive the way you might like them to be. And so while the lawyers may have an intention to give something better, they just don't have the ability to actually deliver it.
So understanding that you've led alternative legal services providers before CEO Law, what are some of the things that they're doing to address a better client experience?
Yeah, so I think Cognition and then Caravelle and Axiom also are doing a good job of trying to create a disruption in the legal industry. I think what they've done well is they have attracted great lawyers who have a combination of big law firm experience and also the experience of having worked in a company so that they can deliver business-focused advice. So I think they're doing that well. And they've also brought down the prices to where they're more reasonable. I think more can be done, however. And at CEO Law, for example, we're still finding those best-of-breed lawyers, but we've brought the price down even further. And then I think the biggest thing that we've done is that we've created a platform that is specifically designed to create a transparent, connected, responsive experience for the customers. And that's really a huge step forward as far as how legal solutions are being delivered to CEO Law customers.
Awesome. Now, a lot of companies, I know they, you know, talk about putting customers first, but it doesn't always come through in their execution. People fall back into a company first or owner first mentality. So how do you track customer satisfaction? Do you keep yourself and your employees accountable?
Well, there's a couple of things that we do to try and make the customer experience better. The first is that when we're selecting lawyers who we allow on the CEO Law technology platform, we're really careful about who we'll allow into the fold. We want to make sure that only the best lawyers are made available to our customers. And there are a couple of key characteristics that we look for. The first is that we look for lawyers who have trained and cut their teeth at the biggest, most well-known, most well-established law firms on Bay Street. And we think that's important because it gives the lawyers a pedigree and an experience that the customers appreciate. And some of our lawyers worked on Bay Street for more than 20 years. So they really are great from that perspective. And then the second thing that we look for, and this is even more important, is lawyers who have worked in companies. Because we think that if you're going to serve people who work in companies, it's critically important, maybe even essential, that you should have spent time in a company yourself, that you should have been in the trenches, shoulder to shoulder with business executives, so you know how to deliver a responsive, connected business solution that's aligned with business goals. We also think that it's important that you deliver those great things at a fair price. And then the other point that we think is really important in terms of making sure that our customers are happy is that we use something called Net Promoter Score so that they can rate the lawyers that they work with, and those ratings are made available for everyone to see. And if you're not familiar with Net Promoter Score, it's something that was launched in the Harvard Business Review in 2002, and it's thought to be a great way to measure customer satisfaction and also likelihood to recommend. And it's a pretty simple mechanism. You ask your customers a single question on a scale of 0 to 10, how likely are you to recommend CEO Law Technology or CEO Law or one of our lawyers, the name of one of our lawyers, to a friend or colleague. Your 9s and 10s are your promoters, you get plus 1. 7s and 8s are your passives, you get no score. And 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0 are your detractors, you get minus 1. To get your score, you take the percentage of promoters and subtract the percentage of detractors. And the best companies in the world, like Apple, Amazon, Netflix, are in the plus 70 range. And that's our goal with CEO Law and CEO Law Technology, to be in the plus 70 range. And right now we're about plus 61. So we've got a bit of work to do, but we are orders of magnitude better than the national average in North America for law firms, which is plus 19. So they're at plus 19 and we're at plus 61. So we're really proud of what we're doing to deliver a great experience to our customers.
So as I mentioned at the outset, I think that technology is going to have a really significant impact on this industry and on this profession. I know you're passionate about a two-sided benefit for clients and lawyers, and I'm interested in learning more because most people don't look at it from both sides. So what does it do for clients, and what does it do for lawyers?
Yeah, for sure. So that's exactly what we've done with the CEO Law technology platform. We've built a two-sided marketplace. And as you correctly describe, a two-sided marketplace delivers benefits to both sides. And in this case, we've got two communities, a community of companies and people who work in companies. Those are the customer side. And then we also have a community of corporate lawyers to serve those customers. So that's the two-sided platform. I think that it's important to take a step back and think about what's the problem that we're solving. So we say the first element of the problem is that traditional law is broken. The second element is that quality corporate legal services are overpriced. And then the third element of the problem is that traditional delivery models are outdated. And let me talk a bit about each of those things. On the traditional law is broken, I always go back to this idea that when you have a bargain, a contract between two parties, if you've got one party who's happy and the other party's unhappy, that's just a bad bargain for the side that's unhappy. But in the case of the way legal solutions are being delivered today, you've got unhappy customers and unhappy lawyers. So both sides are unhappy. And when you have that, that's a broken marketplace and it's ripe for disruption. So that's point number one. Point number two around quality corporate legal services being overpriced. That's because the traditional model for delivering legal solutions today has super high overheads. The ivory towers on Bay Street don't come cheap. And there's also too many layers of people who need to get paid. So you've got partners, you've got associates, you've got students, you've got clerks, you've got paralegals, you've got assistants, and you've got photocopy folks. You've got a whole army of support personnel, all who have to get paid. And it means that the solutions being delivered are way too expensive and they're frankly overpriced. And then the last piece around traditional delivery models being outdated, the way it works today is you call a partner. If you're lucky, the partner will take your call. They're not too busy. So they take your call. Let's say that you get to speak to them. They are immediately going to delegate the work to someone more junior. It might be a student. It might be an associate. You don't quite know who's going to do your work. And you have no idea what other people have had to say about working with that particular person. So that's a problem. The work will begin. You'll have no transparency into how the work is being done, how much time has been spent. You'll have no transparency into being able to actually contribute to the work yourself and deliver your own insight and expertise into how the documents are being generated. And then at the end of the transaction, what will happen is you'll get a bill, and the bill may well be way too high, much higher than you anticipated. And then you won't have any opportunity to leave any feedback for how the experience was and how you enjoyed working with that particular lawyer. That, to me, is a broken delivery model. Here's what you get with the CEO Law technology platform. When you come to the platform, the first thing you see is all of the lawyers on our team. So you can select one who's the best fit for you. And the way it works is you put in the criteria that are relevant to the problem that you need to have solved, and the platform will return a prioritized list of the lawyers that you can work with. And among the criteria that you'll get to see where they went to law school, how long they've practiced law, what areas of expertise they have. You'll even get to see what other clients have had to say as far as the ratings for that particular lawyer. Then you'll pick a lawyer that you think is a good fit. You can book an appointment right then and there online. We use Calendly, so you'll know that the appointment is something that fits into the calendar for the lawyer you want to speak with. Then you'll be able to have a conversation. If you agree you want to go ahead with that lawyer, you'll be able to fill in your profile data online, and that will generate an engagement letter that you can sign online. The lawyer will be notified that the engagement letter has been signed, and so work can begin. As the lawyer is doing the work, you'll have perfect transparency into what's being done on your behalf. You'll be able to see all of the documents. You'll be able to collaborate on the documents so you can have some input into how the solution is being shaped. You will be able to see your retainer and see what the balance is in your retainer. You'll be able to see all of the invoices for work that has been done, and we bill every week, so you already get great transparency there. You'll also be able to see work that has been entered by the lawyer but not yet billed, and that is transparency that's unheard of in the legal space. Nobody else does that, but we're letting you see every hour that has been entered by the lawyer for work that's done on your behalf. At the end of the engagement, you'll be able to leave feedback on the lawyer. And this is an experience that's meant to be connected, responsive, transparent, exactly how customers would like to have it. And then one last thing, because the platform enables a low overhead business model, it also enables the delivery of high quality corporate legal services at low prices. And in our case, the prices for our lawyers is $200 an hour under retainer or $250 an hour if you choose to pay after the work is done. So fantastic pricing.
And to prospective lawyers interested in joining your team, what would you say to them? What are the main benefits of being a part of CEO Law compared to other alternative legal services providers?
Yes, that is a great question, Matt. I talked so long about the customer benefits that I forgot about the other side of the two-sided marketplace, which is the corporate lawyers doing the work. And there are lots of benefits. The first benefit is all of the benefits that go to the customers, because the lawyers really do want to deliver a better customer experience. So all the things that I mentioned that make the experience great for companies also are a real benefit to the lawyers. The other thing is practice management tools. So the platform does everything that the lawyers need as far as practice management. And one of the reasons they feel trapped in the big firms is because they feel like they can't leave because there's a lack of practice management. So we give them that. We do everything from finding them customers, which is a huge thing because they may not have expertise with marketing. They may not have the bandwidth to do the marketing, and they may not have the money to do it. But we can find customers for them. Once the customers are found, we sign those customers to an engagement letter. Then we allow the lawyers to bill their time. Then we allow them to generate documents that may be relevant to the file. We allow the collaboration that I mentioned earlier. We allow them to send out invoices. That's something that the platform does automatically. And finally, the platform even handles collections. So it does everything the lawyer needs from a practice management perspective. And then the last thing that the platform does that is really meaningful for the lawyers is it gives them control over their work lives. And so it allows them to set it up when they want to work, who they want to work for, and what kind of work they want to do. And so the platform lets them schedule their work lives, and that gives them the kind of balance that they are desperately wanting.
Now, 2018 was a pretty big year for investment in legal tech companies. What do you view as the future of legal tech? I imagine your roadmap considers things like document automation and AI.
Yeah, so I do think that document automation and AI and the tools that are helpful to deliver the work product for legal solutions are important. And our platform definitely includes those kinds of elements. We are building a document generation component into our platform, and we're also building in hooks that will identify all of the compliance elements of the various documents and give notifications to lawyers and customers around when more work has to be done on various documents. But what I think is far more important is the relationship side of the delivery of legal solutions. And that's where our platform comes in. We're doing a lot of work to build a better experience for companies, the customers, and also for the corporate lawyers. And I think that technology that can be used to build a better experience for both sides of the two-sided marketplace, that's really critically important. And that, to me, is the future of legal tech that will be meaningful to companies and to lawyers.
Awesome. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. Steve, thank you so much for taking the time to join me. It was a pleasure speaking with you and hearing your perspective, both as a lawyer and an entrepreneur building solutions for lawyers.
All right. Thanks a lot, Matt. It was a real pleasure to be here.
To our audience, thanks for listening in. Please stay tuned for more content as I continue my journey to defining what lawyers want.